This show was first broadcast on Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. For more information on our lineup of shows and the role we play in the media, visit freefm.org.nz.
Welcome to the Vedic Wisdom. I want to talk about occupational duties. Now, this is a strange kind of term, I think you'll say. But every one of us has tendencies, has inclinations, skills, abilities, unique that we contribute to human society. And in general, we gravitate to them, and eventually we end up working and employed in an area that is harmonic with your natural inclinations and abilities. Some people are very much sport-orientated. Some people are very childcare-orientated. Some people business. Some people banking. Some people construction. Some people literature. All right, so all these different characteristics are unique among us, and we all have what we call an occupational duty. Duty meaning we make a contribution. It isn't just that we earn a living. That's the constricted perspective that, oh, I have to make a living, so I better do something. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about that contribution where you're making a heartfelt endeavor. You're doing what you believe to be right, and you're endeavoring to contribute to human society, to family, to nation, however you look at that. But the contribution is not really about you. It's about the feeling, the benefit, the reward you get for that proper contribution as you really integrate into a global society. Now, the Vedic literature spends quite a bit of time about this subject. It's divided into two bits. One is the divisions and orders of the human society that categorize and classify types of contribution. And then the other side of it is the difference between selfless contribution as service and then selfish misconception expecting result. So let's brief over that for 1 second to get to the higher level. There are different divisions of men that have different inclinations to contribute into society. And those different concepts, the different levels, I should say, balance nature. Some people don't mind digging in ditches, and some people couldn't do it. Another person, he'd say, oh, I love studying these law books and seeing that justice is served. And the other person says, I'd rather be in the ditch digging. So we see these different classifications, and naturally through time and association, they gravitate into the different occupational responsibilities and duties. But the Vedic literature is concerned with the higher concept of this, and that is when you get over the I want, get over the selfishness, and you get above it to the selflessness. We see this in great personalities, Princess Diana, Mother Teresa. There's been many great people, great leaders, whose contribution is astonishing. We see it right here in town. There are people that have donated land and parks. There are people that have worked with disabled children. So many different areas of humanitarian contribution. It's not for oneself. You can see that openly, easily. This person isn't doing this for what they get out of it. They're doing it to do good and help others. So this is understood and recognized in society as a higher conception of life. Well, Vedic literature says there's still another higher yet conception of life. And this is where one does something in that selfless consciousness, but for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord. And this is called devotional service. And devotional service is described in the Vedic literature as the topmost concept, the topmost consciousness. Now, first of all, Vedic literature says your occupational activities should never be performed for sense enjoyment. That's not right at any level. Then above that, you get beyond the I, me, mine, sense enjoyment. Then you come to the philanthropic concept where you're doing good to others. That is first superior step. Then you go beyond that and you're selflessly giving service. Then you go beyond that and you've entered into rendering service for the satisfaction of the Supreme. Now, the Vedic literature describes there's five basic categories. You serve in friendship. You serve in just general servitude. You serve in a parental relationship. You serve in a lover's relationship. And these different relationships are clearly defined in the Vedic literature, and they're shown to be higher levels of love of God. That the association, the intent, the purpose, the selflessness, the action, the interaction, directly related between you as a living entity and the Supreme Lord, these are the higher conceptions. This is the topmost. This is when you're freed from karmic reaction, good or bad. When you're tasting nectar of devotional service, which is extremely superior, it's on the platform of spiritual bliss, actual ecstasy. We don't get to experience that hardly at all. Most people are happy when the problems go away, but they aren't even aware of how happy they can be if not only the problems are gone, but they're being stimulated and fulfilled. They're being reciprocated with. They're being cared about and cared for on the highest possible levels. You can understand that there must be a happiness, a joy, a bliss. That conception of life, according to the Vedic literature, that is your normal condition. What we're experiencing here in this material world is a subnormal level. Your normal condition is when you're in that ecstatically blissful state and you're doing activities that are rewarding, that are selfless, that are fulfilling, that's a reciprocation with love of God. Now, this is the platform that all the living entities are actually looking for. They're actually desirous of having bliss in their normal condition. So, Vedic literature says you need to start going that way. If you're in a human form of life and you're not working toward developing the real joys of life, elevating your consciousness to understand God and have a direct relationship with Him, you've not even begun. You're not even on the path yet. So the Krishna consciousness movement is for developing those higher sentiments. Because there's all sorts of training. There's all sorts of information for everything below that. But there's no training. There's no education. There's no information of the highest, topmost perspectives and interactions and relationships between the living entities and the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. So the Vedic knowledge is totally unique in its presentation, totally unique in its subject matter, and totally authorized and proven. Hundreds, millions, billions of living entities have achieved perfection through the same method that's available to all of us, and they have proven the method to be successful at every turn. So we need to take a look at how we're spending our conscious time and recognize that really the amount of bliss, utter happiness, is far too little for you to live a comfortable, healthy, fulfilling life. And we see that everywhere. People pretend, oh, everything's fine. Oh, good to see you. How are you? Nice, good. But there's no bliss. There's no ecstasy. There's no rampant happiness beaming from their face. They're simply happy they don't have a lot of problems like someone else they know. Vedic literature simply dismisses this mentality. This has nothing to do with the benefit, with the conception, with the goal of spiritual life. So we have to control our mind, not to drag us down into worry and depression. We have to control our senses, not to drag us into attachments or attraction towards subjects that provide nothing but temporary relief. We have to control our intelligence to bring it to a higher conception of service above selfishness. Then we're actually starting to function as humans. Eating, sleeping, mating, defending, that is not human. Every species doing that. Developing love of God and experiencing transcendental bliss and being a good example to humanity and making a positive contribution, that's on the platform we're talking about. Then the opportunity is made available to you to render direct devotional service in one of these five types of relationships with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And you begin experiencing it right here in this life, in this body. As training, as preparation, as familiarity to returning at the end of this bodily encagement, to returning to the spiritual world and achieving the highest standards of liberation. Now, if you neglect to do that, you can fall down to the lower species of life. Because if all you want is eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, you don't have need of a human form of body. The birds and the bees and the beasts and the etc., they all do this. So you don't need a human form of life where you have this advanced intelligence and you have this ability to read and speak and so many things that are actually gifts that provide you the facilities and resources you require to become a God-conscious, totally realized, blissful living entity. So we must not be complacent and foolish about the opportunity the human form of life affords us and misuse it for television and wine. We need to bring ourselves up to the real platform of rendering devotional service to the Supreme Lord by developing godly qualities, by acting with enlightened consciousness, by reciprocating love and service with the Supreme Personality of God and Sri Krishna himself, eye to eye, face to face. Vedic literature says you should expect nothing less. According to Vedic literature, every living entity has a unique relationship with the Lord, and that in that relationship, when it's developed correctly, he experiences transcendental bliss. Every living entity can attain complete perfection. Yet the stupid people in this material world and the demonic leaders that are running the show, they scoff at all that and say, there's no such thing as perfection. There's no such thing as God. There's no such thing as happiness. And they simply exploit you. We can see the world is being run by demons. Not fools, not people with a different opinion than you, or people that have made a few mistakes here and there. These are actually demonic consciousness beings who will sacrifice you and anything else there is for their own betterment. Vedic literature says this is the demonic mentality. It has nothing to do with compassion. It has nothing to do with selflessness or the service mentality or one's responsibility to living entities, to the environment, to the planet, to God, to the demigods, to the spiritual master, to the teacher, the king, or any other aspect of respectable life. We're simply being led by a mob of criminals. They're doing criminal things and then making laws that say you can't tell them to stop. It's happening everywhere. All over the planet, right here, just down the street, to the opposite side of the planet, the biggest nation to the most undeveloped nation. The monsters are running everything and trying to get away with murder, theft, abuse, exploitation. This has nothing to do with the godly qualities. The godly qualities are totally unique. According to the sages, one who is engaged in the ultimate occupational service never uses material gain for enjoyment. Life's desire should never be directed toward enjoyment. One should desire a healthy life, self-preservation. And one should spend his time inquiring about and achieving knowledge of the absolute truth. Nothing else should be the goal of life. Nothing. So the learned scholars, saints and sages and transcendentalists who've worked on this path and know the absolute truth, they know that it is the supreme personality of Godhead and that he has three qualities. His impersonal energies, his localized individual supersoul that accompanies every one of us by residing in our heart, and as the supreme personality of Godhead, the cause of everything. These three levels are accepted and acknowledged throughout the entire manifestation, both the material manifestation and the spiritual manifestation. And a sincere, inquisitive student should use knowledge, acquire Vedic knowledge, and become detached from this material world, and spend his time becoming realized about the absolute truth and learning about devotional service and rendering that devotional service with a selfless, open, free heart to taste the highest nectar, to taste the bliss and enjoyment of life you're supposed to be getting in this human society. But you can't, because it's under the control of people who are simply godless, let alone unable to give you knowledge of God and how to attain devotional service. They're simply exploiting you and the planet and killing, 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 killing. That's what we see. What is happening and growing on the planet? Killing. I read an article yesterday that said that in America, the Department of Homeland Security just ordered 450 million bullets. Why? To kill. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Where do you find 450 million people that need killing? Something is seriously wrong. So it's concluded that the highest perfection one can achieve by discharging your duties as one's own occupation and according to his tendencies and abilities should be done in order to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead and revive our forgotten spiritual relationship. So with one-pointed attention, focused consciousness, one should constantly hear about, glorify, remember, worship, and serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead in devotional consciousness. This is godliness. So, with determination, an intelligent man should cut through the binding knots of karma, cut through the illusory conceptions of social structure and status, and work by remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead and your forgotten relationship with him. So all the saints and sages and saintly persons throughout history, by serving and rendering service to those who are completely free of envy, to those who are completely wise and determined and focusing on devotional service, they achieve the highest perfection. By such a service, one gains the attraction for hearing and remembering the messages of the Supreme Lord, which are meant to awaken you from the sleep of material existence. There are so many arenas of life right now where people are talking about waking up. Wake up to the problems of the planet. Wake up to the suffering of the whales. Wake up to the government's exploitation. Wake up to the fake money and the criminality of the bankers. Wake up to this. Wake up to that. Wake up to the next thing. But what do we really need to wake up to? To the fact that we are an eternal living entity in a temporary body. We're focusing on the bodily relationships, but we have an eternal relationship with the eternal Lord. And we need to wake up from this temporary conception of life and revive our eternal perspective of life. It lasts. It is continuous. We've simply been covered and forgotten. So when you think of waking up, that means you were in a sleep state, not actually conscious. And waking up to a fully realized state to where you're actually conscious again, the real waking up is to wake up to your eternal relationship between you and the Supreme Lord called love of God. Srila Prabhupada says, don't act in such a way that you see God. Act in such a way that he sees you. This is done by a humble service attitude. It's done by a willingness to contribute, a selfless use of your energy for his satisfaction, not yours, or not some other person. So we have the requirements, we have the capacity to do the topmost things with our lives, to enter into the highest consciousness and conceptions. But we're being distracted to so many unimportant things. There is so much nonsense in what's supposed to be news. There is so much ridiculous information passing by. I mean, we thought we had a lot of information until the internet came. Now, everyone is in information overload. You can't process it all. There are so many fields of endeavor or interaction or communication or information, you can't process it all. I have 60, 80 emails a day. Oh, my goodness. So many people, so many things. And you all facing it now. Everyone is having difficulty coping with the information overload. Well, the real information you need is to know who you are and how you got here and why are you here and where do you go when you leave and what is the most important duty. This type of information is still needed. Although we have so much rubbish going by, this most important information is still not being interactively shared correctly such that people are entering a happy, blissful, elevated state of consciousness. And yet that is the responsibility for all of us in a human form of life. To use this opportunity of intelligence and hands and ability to speak, contemplative abilities, intelligence, education, etc., to raise ourselves to our highest potential, which is love of God and self-realization. Are we doing it? No. Do we have the ability? Yes. Do we have the inclination? Not so much. I want to enjoy. I want to watch my screen, and I want to eat and drink and be merry. And this is simply laughed at by the saints and sages, the sadhus, the realized souls of the universe. They look upon the human civilization and go, oh my goodness, you poor people. So Vedic wisdom is being brought here. It is being propagated here. It is expanding rapidly here. The awakening to Vedic knowledge is the real waking up that's needed. Everything else will come as a result. But one cannot fix all the other problems on the planet and awaken to love of God. That only comes through Vedic wisdom. So Srila Prabhupada says, don't go the long way around. Go directly. Take up the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Take up hearing the Vedic knowledge and go directly to awakening your original blissful consciousness. Then your perspective will be so much better, you can look back and fix all these other things without much difficulty. But if you leave that till later, till last, and work on all the other problems of the world, you'll find that as soon as you fix a problem and go to the second problem, the first one starts to become a problem again. And instead of fixing all the problems, you end up rotating between 2 or 3 or 4 or 5, depending on your capacity, and none of them ever really get fixed. Your first responsibility is to fix your consciousness so you have the ability to help others fix theirs. And everyone is sick, no one can get well. The spiritual master comes from the spiritual world and brings Vedic knowledge and he makes you well. He heals your consciousness, controls the maddened, frenzied mind. And then when one returns to healthy condition again, you can see his perspective, his abilities, his actions, everything takes on a divine quality. Whereas now we see so many things are going on and it's all full of errors, all full of problems and mistakes, ignorance. As I said when I started today, so many problems, so many stupid solutions, stupid decisions. Oh, let's do this. It doesn't work. Oh, well, I'll try something else. What is this? That's not intelligence. That's called blind experimenting. We're not meant to do that. If we call this an advanced society, we're not meant to do that. We're supposed to be using our consciousness and intelligence with education. We're trained what to do and what not to do. And this is where the human society has fallen down. And therefore, the Vedic knowledge is trying to give you that guidance. It's not in the schools. It's not under government. It's not under societies or associations. It's not even in the Western religions. It's in the Vedic knowledge. The topmost information is way above. It's in the Vedic knowledge.
For more episodes, use the accessmedia.nz app for iOS and Android devices, or subscribe to this podcast via Spotify, iHeartRadio, or Apple Podcasts. This free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.